Canto 3, Chapter 26, titled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Text Number 32. Word to word translation. Tamasar, from egoism in ignorance. Cha, and Vikurvanat, undergoing transformation. Bhagavat Virya, by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chodita, impelled. Shabdamatram, the subtle element sound. Abhut, was manifested. Tasmat, from that. Nabaha, ether. Shrotram, the sense of hearing. Tu, then. Shabdagam, which catches sound. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When egoism and ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested, and from sound come the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. Purport. It appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are the products of egoism in ignorance. It is understood from this verse that by agitation of the element of egoism in ignorance, the first thing produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. It is stated also in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession, and that by sound one can also dissolve this material existence. Anavrittihi shabdat means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. There is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins, and other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of the creation of all material objects for our sense gratification. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities are also produced from sound. Here it is stated that from sound the ether became manifested, and that the air became manifested from ether. How the ethereal sky comes from sound, how the air comes from sky, and how fire comes from air will be explained later on. Sound is the cause of the sky, and sky is the cause of shrotram, the ear. The ear is the first sense for receiving knowledge. One must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either material or spiritual. Therefore, shrotram is very important. The Vedic knowledge is called shruti. Knowledge has to be received by hearing. By hearing only can we have access to either material or spiritual enjoyment. In the material world, we manufacture many things for our material comfort simply by hearing. They are already there, but just by hearing one can transform them. If we want to build a very high skyscraper, this does not mean that we have to create it. The materials for the skyscraper, wood, metal, earth, etc., are already there, but we make our intimate relationship with those already created material elements by hearing how to utilize them. Modern economic advancement for creation is also a product of hearing, and similarly, one can create a favorable field of spiritual activities by hearing from the right source. Arjuna was a gross materialist in the bodily conception of life, and was suffering from the bodily concept very acutely. But simply by hearing, Arjuna became a spiritualized Krishna conscious person. Hearing is very important, and that hearing is produced from the sky. By hearing only can we make proper use of that which already exists. The principle of hearing to properly utilize preconceived materials is applicable to spiritual paraphernalia as well. We must hear from the proper spiritual source. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Paragamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Badam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Panchakalpatubhyascha Kripasindubhyahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Even those who are bitten by a snake and who have become unconscious, they can be brought back to life when proper mantras are chanted. Prabhupada uses this analogy to bring home a point as to how the living entities in this material world are also unconscious because they are bitten by the snake of Maya. But by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, they can be brought back to life. So here the purport and the translation here, today's verse are talking about that stage of creation where Mahatattva in the mode of ignorance is producing the gross elements. Can somebody tell what are the gross elements? Earth, water, fire, air and ether. Okay. So what is being produced today? Sound. And from sound what comes? Ether and sky. And then importantly the sense of hearing is also coming from that. So other significant points that are being brought out in the purport or that spiritual sound can liberate us from this material entanglement, and what keeps us entangled in this material world is material sound vibration. Now many times we hear this analogy of that which causes the problem and therapeutically used can take you out of the problem as well. The example they use is that of milk and yogurt. So you get diarrhea due to excess consumption of milk, but the same milk when it is turned into yogurt and when it is given as a medicine, that will fix diarrhea. So here we see how material entanglement happens because of material sound vibration. So what exactly did we vibrate to come to this material world? Anyone wants to guess? Did we vibrate it? What exactly did we vibrate when to come to this? You know how thoughts also have vibrations in them, and they are subtle vibrations which we may not be able to look into the thoughts of others, but we ourselves can understand how powerful thoughts are. Our current range of perception is whatever other person speak, I can hear. I cannot get into their mind and read their thoughts. But thoughts still have powerful vibrations.
It has to be connected to the power. Back up. And then turn the power bank also.
So, the thought or the the thought that I want to enjoy separately from Krishna, that's the first vibration, and that created the whole idea of enjoying separately, that desire, that vibration, thought. And so because spiritual world is not a place where you can do that, and therefore what you are given is a separate place where you can be the controller and enjoyer. So the thoughts that come into my mind are, I want to be the controller, I want to be the enjoyer. So that's not possible in the spiritual world, and that was what we were vibrating. And now here we are given all the list of things. So the field of activities that are suitable for you to fulfill that desire which you vibrated to come to this world. So those field of activities are also created by that particular desire. And we saw how Mother Devahuti is asking detailed questions about all those material elements and also about the Supreme Lord. So we, just to recap, we saw how the Mahatattva, when it is in the mode of goodness, it produces mind. Mind, because of its thoughts and reflections. So that's the activities of its thinking, feeling, willing. Those aspects are there of the mind. And that is actually in the mode of goodness. And then Mahatattva in the mode of passion gives rise to intelligence. Kriya Shakti. So first is the Adi Daivik, then Kriya Shakti, which is creative intelligence and the knowledge acquiring senses. And then in the mode of ignorance, the gross elements that I am going to use and gratify my senses. So that's why the purport first line begins. Objects of our sense gratification are the products of egoism in ignorance. I want to gain happiness through this matter, through this earth, water, fire, air and ether, and I'm going to be the controller and enjoyer. That is why either as a brahmachari I can have my own closet and my own room, my own, and think, yes, I'm the owner of all that and I'm going to control, I'm going to enjoy. But we don't know how long we will stay in that room, because someone else will come, or you may be asked to leave, or anything may happen. But still, for the time period that I am there, I am the controller, we put our name on it. Oh, this belongs to, yeah, this, I put my initials and that's mine. We attach the identity. So that's possessions. And in terms of grihastha life, they have, okay, this is my home, my family, car, bank balance, all of that. So we are creating our own world, and we want to be the controller and enjoyer in that particular world. So we need gross elements for that, and the first thing that's created is sound, and from sound comes sky. So sound is more subtler, it is capable of creation. So Vedanta Sutra also says that sound can also liberate you. So we have this understanding as how creation began with Lord revealing the actual process of creation to Lord Brahma in the heart. So that was also sound vibration. And when Lord Brahma, when the energy of the Lord's instruction came to Lord Brahma's heart, and he was able to understand. Prabhupada, when he is giving lectures on these particular verses, one may ask how Lord Brahma, being the very first person, there was nobody else to teach him. So for sound to be received, there must be two persons. One must be seeking, one must be hearing. One must be speaking, another one must be hearing. So in that case, how does it happen? Now Prabhupada explains that Lord, situated in the heart of Brahma, instructed the knowledge. That's how Bhagavatam begins. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavi. So, to create this material world, also Lord gives knowledge to Brahma through sound. And to get out of this material world, when that same sound, when it is vibrated properly, it will take you out of this material realm. So that transcendental vibration is Hare Krishna. So our exit from this material world will depend upon how nicely we chant Hare Krishna. But if we still want to maintain our existence in this material world, so then we can keep vibrating other sounds and get entangled here. But just as we have exit signs in a building, so that's a green light there, and then it says, okay, if there's a fire, that's how we exit. Lord creates this material world, and it is a place where there is constant fire. Dhava Agni is there. But Lord is also merciful. He gives the sound vibration as the exit sign. He sends spiritual masters like Srila Prabhupada. These acharyas, they show us the exit sign. And they devise a process by which you can come out of this material entanglement. Just as in GPS, you tell which destination you want to go to, it'll take you, take right, take left, go straight, stop at this signal, don't speed, all that. So now, most of them who use GPS, they will have this also added to their GPS. Like say, my home address, and that's my home. You have the experience? Like, and wherever you go, then from that destination, if you want to go back home, you just say, go to home. So now, going to home is exactly the reverse process of how you got to the wrong destinations. Whatever you have to take right, you may have to take left. So this whole process of going back to spiritual world means you start vibrating spiritual sound vibration, which is coming by the Lord Himself, and it is given to us through the disciplic succession. So that is why hearing from the right source is the way to exit this material existence. Now, to come to the level of those who are very materially engrossed, Srila Prabhupada gives this example as to how, even if you want to achieve big success in your material life, you have to hear from some authority. We have civil engineers who are dealing with the earth. So then there is an authority for civil engineers, and whoever wants to become a civil engineer, he has to go through a process of going to a college, hearing from the lecturers, and then based on that, he puts that knowledge into practice. Then they tell you how to mix things, and that's exactly what's happening in the construction site, just in the temple. So there is somebody who is devised the plan, and then somebody is putting into practice, but they have all gone through a process of hearing from somebody who is superior. So the material elements are there, but you need to know how to put them together to build a skyscraper In our case, it's a temple kitchen. So every person who is working in our temple kitchen website, they are also getting spiritual benefits because they are building, and that building is for Krishna. This is how powerful the process of Bhakti Yoga is. So any material talents you have, whether you are good at putting things together, building or crunching numbers, all of that can be used in the Lord's service. So the aspects of intelligence like doubt, misapprehension, correct apprehension, memory and sleep. So this spiritual sound vibration instills the initial faith in the person. The Hare Krishna mantra is what is given whenever we get into any Hare ISKCON temple. So the mantra enters into your ears. Mostly it will be either Srila Prabhupada's tape getting played or devotees singing. Some way, shape or form, even Prabhupada's pranam mantra also enters our ears. So that actually awakens the dormant Krishna consciousness. The Hare Krishna mantra is capable of bringing back to life the dead person. So now only if the soul is active, then the intelligence can function, the mind can do its thinking, feeling and willing. So that gets awakened spiritually. So that happens first by hearing. Even without knowing the effect of mantra, if one simply hears, the mantra will still produce its effect. So you still have some doubts initially, is this actually true or what's really happening? So then you hear further, then you start to hear also from Krishna directly. As Prabhupada mentions here, Arjuna was acutely suffering from bodily conception, and what did he do? He heard from Krishna. That's when he surrendered. Shishyasteham sharimam tvam prapannam. And then towards the end, what happened? All his doubts got cleared. So now Arjuna was saying, now I am ready to do whatever you say, Krishna. So our doubts get dispelled and we become fixed in correct apprehension by hearing from a proper source. So that Sabda Brahman coming from Krishna himself takes us gradually, fixes our intelligence from doubtfulness, gives strong faith, conviction, and it also helps you to use the field of activity that you are in. The body that you have got currently is your field of activity. So how did you get that particular type of body? Is because you had a certain set of desire, so that's what it got you here. Now, when those desires become spiritualized, as we read in the previous verses and purports, desires in themselves cannot be killed, but they can only be spiritualized. So you have proper intelligence, so then you start to cultivate proper desire. So that's what Prabhupada in this purport says, that our spiritual life, so if we approach that spiritual sound, then our spiritual life begins. And other requirements for spiritual advancement can also be supplied. So we begin our spiritual advancement by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. So then we are asked to participate in the kirtan. So that is a nice experience. Everyone does it. But the tough part is when they give you a japa mala and then they ask you to chant individually. So that's when you are entering into a like a boxing ring and you are stepping in, and who is facing you? Your own mind. Yes. So that's when the real challenge is. Okay, dancing in Harinam or dancing temple kirtan is good, but that 5:15 a.m. to 7 a.m. that japa period, we have to do it on our own. and I am also a big culprit in not chanting properly. So by understanding the direction in which mind goes and then the functioning of the mind, Bhakti Yoga gives that knowledge of how mind functions. It has got three transformations: thinking, feeling and willing. And out of these three, the feeling side has got a upper hand over the other two. So yesterday we were sitting in the men's PC room and then we were doing our work, and then from downstairs they started to play Damodar Ashtakam. And then immediately thoughts go towards, oh, how nice it was. Then, oh, we were all doing the lamp offering and we all had that personal one-to-one darshan with the Lord when we are able to individually do that. So immediately your thoughts, desires, attachment goes straight away into that. So the feelings side of the mind has got a higher side over the other, and that can be provoked by proper sound vibration. When we sing Guru Ashtakam in the morning in a particular tune, that evokes a particular emotion. Tulasi Aarti evokes a particular emotion. When the Acharyas pass away, we sing the same Samsara Dava prayers but in a different tune. And then we sing Jaya Nilo Premadana. So that sound vibration brings a different kind of feeling inside you. If you analyze yourself, the bhakti process, every particular song will bring out a particular emotion. Why? Because that's the stronger side of the mind which can be used nicely to attach yourself to Krishna. That attachment which you have for these material things, when that is transformed to Krishna and the liberated persons like sadhus, that opens up the doors for liberation. Moksha dwaram. So that is how we understand that sound vibration, when properly used, takes us out. So we don't have to invent all this. Srila Prabhupada and all the other previous acharyas, they have given the process. We just need to understand the significance of what we are doing. Then we can do it in a much more effective way. So the Bhakti Yoga process not only helps you to be emotionally fixed, but it also gives you thorough understanding. So the thinking side has also got, so you go through thinking function by observation. You observe things and then you remember. So now in the environment that we are in a temple environment, you observe so many things and these impressions are going inside and you are starting to put them into your registry of memory. And these things which you are adding to your spiritual memory, they are actually going in and they are going to create future desires. Okay, I see a mridanga. Okay, I can analytically analyze it's made out of clay. Clay comes from earth, so earth can produce sound. But when I take up the mridanga and play for the pleasure of Krishna, so then it produces spiritual benefits. At the moment, I may not be even able to lift the mridanga and stand for a longer period and play, but I can develop the desire. So by seeing the objects, I see that, okay, so then what can I do? How can I apply? So the thinking part of it kicks in, where you observe and then you remember, and then, so when this aspect is applied towards spiritual objects, so then it creates spiritual desires. And while chanting, Srila Prabhupada says there is no need to think of anything else. Chanting itself is thinking. When he gives the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So the aspect of thinking aspects will be covered as to how it has observation and remembrance. And so this observation could be by direct sense perception, which is pratyaksha praman, and then there is anuman praman, which is through inference. So if I am in a room and then I hear some footsteps and then I know how it vibrates, so then I can even make out who is coming. A lean built person will make less noise. A heavily built person may make a heavy noise. So that is, even without seeing, I am able to get that picture in my mind. So this is how it works. And the higher than these two is when the Lord Himself gives you a divine perception. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. So I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. I preserve what they have and provide what they lack. So that comes. So that is also a way of understanding. So that is when you tap into the spiritual energy or spiritual aspect and get that divine revelations. So that is also one way of perceiving. So we covered pratyaksha, anumana, and then there is divya pratyaksha, or the divine perception. So that divine perception happens by vibrating spiritual sound, which is Hare Krishna mantra. Although it is not recommended, but a lot of creative ideas come when you are doing your japa. Anyone has the experience? If you are doing a project or something, and a lot of creative ideas come, but that is also chanting in the mode of passion, because you're thinking about something that you want to do in the future, and your mind is on the future side. You want to do something, ideas are coming, and you want to act on them. But ideally, it should not be done in that way. But it happens because we are in touch with the spiritual sound, and you're getting creative ideas. The mistakes that you did while you're doing deity worship will be indicated to you so that you don't do them again. And even in deity worship, if you see whatever, if you have done mistakes, the way of counteracting it too is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses. So why do we get all those creative ideas? Who is giving it is the Lord Himself. Now, after having got all those ideas, we need to act on them. So that is how the willing aspect of the mind comes into picture. So thinking, feeling, now the willing aspect, where you need to put things into action. So that is when you need to know how every sense organ is working. How do I put them into action? Now intelligence or kicks into picture as to how you start to make plans, how to execute it. It is not just enough if you have desires, but you also need to plan how to execute them. To execute them properly, you need to hear from a proper authority. So that's when hearing comes into place for you to plan your things nicely. Now, with the desire side of it, we have two aspects where we act, or we are in a situation where we are able to act on our desires. In those situations, when the situation is favorable and we are able to act on the desires that we have, we should not take a step back, and we should roll our sleeves and get into action by taking some courageous steps and fulfilling those desires. This is when I am talking in terms of spiritual desires. I am not here to encourage you or give a pep talk as to how you go ahead, do it. It's all in you. It's all positive thinking. No, there's a divine aspect to positive thinking as well, because nothing happens without the will of the Lord. So spiritual desires, when you are in a position to fulfill them, like you don't have to step back and hold yourself. So that time don't feel bad for not acting properly. So at that time give your full energy, put and get that fulfilled. The second scenario is, as I said, I want to play mridanga, but if I can't play, or if I am in a situation where I have to do certain services which are not according to my nature, so then we don't have to drag into that and not fully engage in them, but you start to desire and you start to like what you are given. In that way, it is more practical for you to start liking what you are doing. That will actually give a lot of experience which can be used when you are put in a situation where you can fulfill those desires. Again, this knowledge as to how to act in situations where you are facing ups and how to act when you are facing downs, that again comes from spiritual knowledge. So we do what we desire, or we desire what we are doing. So you start to like what you do, or you do what you like. Now to do them, so we need to plan. So planning involves using all the resources that you have. So that is when the knowledge of the field of activities that we are in comes into picture. How to use every element, how every element is going to have an impact on me and others and the environment. And that's how you start to make plan. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. So that is how the aspect of intelligence plays a part. And Bhakti Yoga tells you how, what is the right action, what is the wrong action. So you know how to discriminate. Then it gives you a determination how to engage in whatever you have chosen as right. So there is 16 rounds of, minimum 16 rounds of chanting, and then there is four regulative principles. So you gain the strength to follow the regulative principles by chanting minimum 16 rounds. Just as I was pointing out, the mobile phone that we are using for recording will run out of battery if it's not connected to the proper source. Even for a mobile, we charge it fully. So for us to function spiritually well, Srila Prabhupada has given minimum 16 rounds to charge ourselves fully spiritually. So we need to take that aspect of charging ourselves initially with spiritual sound vibration of a Hare Krishna mantra. Then with the body, so now you had a desire, you made a plan using your intelligence. Now is it okay if I stop there, just planning? So now you need to put your endeavor. So Krishna explains in Gita the five factors of success. Does anyone remember the verse? Adhisthanam tata karta karanam cha pritak vidam vividascha pritak chesta daivam chaivarta panchamam. You know the meaning? So the five factors of success is that one is the soul, then the field of activity, the doer, and then the blessings of the Lord. So Krishna never said, Arjuna, my dear friend, you sit back, relax, I'll fight the battle for you. You wake up after 18 days, everything will be done for you. No. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anushmara yudhyacha. You have to fight, Arjuna, but think of me and fight. So the endeavor aspect, that's when the willing side of the mind comes into picture. So you harmonize your will with the Supreme Person's will, with the will of your spiritual master. Prabhupada explains how the advancement of Krishna consciousness means I am fulfilling the desires of my spiritual master who ordered me to publish books, print and preach worldwide. So now I am also giving you the same thing. So we don't have to look for our to-do list, or we don't have to set our SMART goals or anything like that. It's all already given to us. So the willing side of the mind is that you align your will with that of the divine will, and then the daiva aspect, by that you attract the mercy. So you are willing to do what the Lord wants you to do, and then the last aspect is to attract the mercy. To attract the mercy, we engage in prayers. The Hare Krishna mantra is the best prayer. So except the prayer aspect, if you look at materialists, they will do everything else. They will have strong material desires, they will plan, they have so many tools for planning, day planner, weekly planner, yearly planner, what not, energy planner. While working in Citibank, the boss wanted me to fill the hourly, what are you doing, I want to know. So they have a hourly planner, and then next day morning you have to stand up in a meeting where you don't sit in a chair, it's called a stand up meeting. You need to show what did you do, how much percentage completed, how much you are spending, what's the reasons. Give a short thing. So they go to that extent, but only thing they neglect is prayer. Prayer, nothing, oh, that's for those who are weak or I don't need it. So that is how you get out of this material entanglement, by praying. Because others are able to fiddle with earth, water, fire, air and ether very, very nicely, expertly. And what they are doing is, they are creating further desires and they are getting further, further entangled. Whereas we use the same earth, water, fire, air and ether, guided by divine sound vibration, we transform everything into spirit, and slowly we are able to get out of this material entanglement by using the sound vibration. And that is how we progress spiritually. Because Prabhupada explains in the purport that one has not only begin spiritual life, but he also has to advance. So what are my requirements for spiritual advancement at every stage? We need to do an analysis as to what am I lacking at this stage, what is preventing me from going further in my spiritual life, and then inquire from superiors, from other exalted Vaishnavas, from the spiritual master. Then you hear from them, then put that into action. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that every stage of advancement in spiritual life, the hearing of sound vibration is of the Hare Krishna mantra is very, very essential. We hear this analogy of pouring water to the plant and nourishing it and then keeping it safe. So that nourishment comes from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, is it enough that today that I am able to chant just with my mouth and then the rest of my mind is thinking about something else, and my intelligence is planning for something else, and I'm thinking about what somebody else told me, so my ego is hurt. So the organ is vibrating, whereas the mind is somewhere else, the intelligence, the ego. So if everything is brought into one line and I'm focusing on that, so then even for a camera to focus on something, it has to have like a proper three-way stand, and then it focuses on an object. So then you get a proper image. Otherwise, the sound vibration is potent, but to the extent that we are able to align the rest of the field of activities inside us and focus on the sound, then it will produce effect. Personally, I have to go a lot further in improving my own chanting. But this thought of how the field of activities help us, it could either help us or it could distract us, the way we manage it. So let us take advantage of that spiritual sound which can take us out of this material world by aligning our thoughts, words and deeds using our body, mind and words to hear this proper sound vibration and get liberated from this material entanglement. So I'll stop there and see if there are any comments, corrections or questions. So the question is, while chanting, if the mind wanders, what do we do to bring it back? Personally, I face this issue a lot, so I'm not very authoritative in giving solution. His Grace Burijan Prabhu has given a set of principles that you can use to improve our japa, and one of them that I found useful is that before starting your japa, you have a sankalpa, you take a vow that I will chant properly, I will hear every mantra, I will chant only one beat at a time. You don't have to give the big task of chanting 16 rounds entirely to the mind, so mind will obviously rebel and reject. So to cut it down, even practically we can't chant 16 rounds and we don't have that many tongues, so we just have one tongue, we can vibrate only one mantra at a time and we have only two sets of ears, so we can hear that. So I will chant only one mantra at a time and I will hear, not think of the past, not think of the future. So at the moment, this is the only task, my dear mind, chant just one beat at a time. After chanting, move to the next beat. Again, simple task, chant just one beat at a time. And if you are wandering, so bring it back. So these determinations you set before you begin. So before beginning every round, you take the sankalpa. I will chant only one beat at a time and my mind wanders, I will bring it back. And Prabhu explains as to how, when you are doing this exercise, you will naturally become humble and take the help of the Lord, because you won't be able to control your mind fully. So that makes you humble to take the help of Lord further. So that, please Lord, help me in this struggle to chant and hear nicely. So that helpless cry, so the chanting itself is like the crying of a child. So if we are able to do that in a prayerful mood and a crying mood, so then the Lord helps. So before beginning the round, it's not just even when chanting the Panchatattva mantra itself, the mind starts to wander, so bring it back, so then chant the Panchatattva mantra properly. Then before beginning the round, okay, this is what I am going to do, so then keep doing. So then if by chance you didn't focus on one bead, you don't have to go back, you can't go back and chant your bead that you have done without focus. So focus on the current one and don't start planning to chant the rest of the round nicely. So just chant one bead at a time. So that I found is helping me a lot. So I should read further from the book, because it is very relevant to the current purport also. Because Prabhu very nicely explains as to how the stage that you are in bhakti, to that extent whatever distractions are coming at the particular stage, he describes it, and then he tells as to how at every stage chanting helps one to make progress. It's not just you begin spiritual life, but you also have to make progress. So you have to make advancement, yeah, for spiritual advancement. So the key requirement for our spiritual advancement is chanting.
Yes.
So if I show a quote from Bhagavad Gita, will you be convinced and give it up? Probably.
I won't give it up.
Okay, good.
So
that, I'll make sense. Yeah, okay. So the question is, I'm okay to chant the rounds, but why is this onion and garlic not allowed for in the food? Krishna explains that food in the mode of ignorance, they have certain characteristics, they have pungent smell. And even while cutting onion, your mother will be shedding tears. Have you seen that? So that which is making you and your mother shed tears outside, what is it going to do when it goes inside your body? So you don't believe in stories, so that's why I'm giving like practical example. So that which is giving trouble and is giving a pungent smell, and when it goes inside, it increases the lower modes of ignorance and passion inside you. If you want to be spiritual and progress in spiritual life, we are avoiding it, and most importantly, we avoid it because Krishna does not like it. So if you love somebody, so then we give it up at that level, where even though you may not practically also are able to see, that's and then the effect it creates on the consciousness. And went to a Buddhist restaurant where they have done research, and they have put like the elements that come out of the body eliminates the first things that it thinks eliminate, the first things are there, onion and garlic. The body eliminates it first, thinking that it's like a waste. What gets eliminated is waste. So these get eliminated and it produces bad odor in the body. And the other reason is people who are driving, who are pilots especially, they are also asked to avoid such food certain days before they actually engage in driving the planes. So it does affect your consciousness. And Krishna explains what you should, food in the mode of goodness, food in the mode of passion, and food in the mode of ignorance. So it's in the 18th chapter. So if this is how you get convinced, and when you are presenting it to somebody else, if they want to hear Shastra, you can quote Shastra. Otherwise, just quote the normal bodily effects it has got. Now, the extreme exempt, like people may argue, like what about the medical benefits of onion and garlic? It has got so many benefits. Well, I am worshipping Krishna, and one level of protection is that He will protect me from whatever that I am going through. If my life and death depends on me taking up that particular medicine which is going to be made of onion and garlic, and if that's what is there, nothing else is available, I've done a thorough research, and that will only save my life to do my bhakti. So then, in that extreme situation maybe. So don't make exceptions into normal thing. So that is why one of the reasons people who want to taste it, they give, oh, it has got a lot of medicinal benefits. So a lot of things, other herbs in Ayurveda give similar benefits. So, are you convinced? Slightly, maybe, probably. Yes. Can I give the mic? Because you cannot trans.
It's actually scientifically proven that the garlic desynchronizes the brain waves. That's why the pilots can't eat garlic 3 days before they actually fly the plane. And those doctors who measure probably electroencephalogram, they tell their patients not to eat garlic because it's actually, they say it's like a zero. Zero
brain waves,
that doesn't come at all. So you can check on the internet.
Okay. Any other questions? We conclude here. Grantharashtra Bhagavatam Ki.